In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are debtors to sin and not for yourselves. We have sinned against you and the Father, who are in the Lord.
in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For the health of the church, for the unity of all, for this holy house, for all who worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the poor. That we may live out truth and justice and grace, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family. For life and for love, for our work and our play. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the Word. That you nourish our souls with your body and blood. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with lighting our Advent candles. Praise to you, O God, who gives us courage to start again. You fasten righteousness around your waist and baptize with the Holy Spirit's fire. Bless us as we mirror your mighty fire in these simple flames, and teach us to mirror your justice in the paths we prepare. We ask that peace abound until none hurt or destroy over all the earth. Amen. You may be seated.
A reading from Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he live as long as the sun and the moon endure, from one generation to another. In his time, may the righteous flourish, and let there be an abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. And blessed be your glorious name forever. And may all the earth be filled with your glory. Amen. Amen. A reading from Romans. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfast and by encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know Christmas is approaching, but some of the themes in our lessons this week might get us to think about New Year's Day and the new beginnings that come with resolutions that often come with that holiday as opposed to Christmas. In our gospel lesson, John the Baptist is calling us to make some changes in our lives. We need to turn things around, prepare the way of the Lord. In this season of preparation, what are you preparing for? Is it Christmas? Is it the second advent of Christ? Is it a new job, new career, the next chapter in your life? At this time, we might be finding ourselves preparing for and hoping for a new tomorrow. Or is there a tomorrow that is coming that you're not prepared for? A tomorrow that is coming that you do not want to come? A tomorrow that you see no hope in. I remember as a kid watching an episode of Batman with Adam West in it, for those of you who know who Adam West was. And it was in that episode that the Riddler was in it, and he had the riddle, "What's always coming but never comes?" The answer was tomorrow. It's always coming but never comes. Tomorrow. Throughout our lives, the preparation for a new tomorrow come and go. But all that we've hoped for perhaps is waiting for another day or another tomorrow that never seems to arrive. As blunt as John the Baptist appears in our gospel lesson, perhaps it's that promise of a fresh start and a new beginning and hope for a new tomorrow that attracts so many people to him. John the Baptist in modern times might come across as like a life coach, a trainer, a person that could hold you accountable to new resolutions that you want to make in your life. And while there's certainly nothing wrong with working on ourselves, that's certainly part of what we do, the longing to just work on ourselves with those types of resolutions to produce hope for a new tomorrow can have a focus that only looks inwardly in ourselves and neglect our wider call to be invested in our neighbors. A concern with only ourselves and not those around us will end up producing rotten fruit because we're consumed and hoping things just for us. Sometimes when we get caught up in just focusing on doing the right thing, we might just be doing the right thing also for all the wrong reasons. John the Baptist calls out the Pharisees and the Sadducees in our gospel lesson today. He calls them a brood of vipers. They can't rely on their status or participate in this act of repentance for the sake of appearances. It's warning. It's warning us, because we can all be guilty of this too. Doing things for the sake of appearances. The right thing for the sake of appearances. Trying to look good while hiding all the bad that's going on within our lives. Only to produce bad fruit in the end. Because we're not going in the right direction. We keep going in the wrong direction, expecting a new result and a new tomorrow. The kingdom of heaven that John is speaking of is certainly about us, but not only about us. In our first lesson from Isaiah, we get an image of the hope and the new tomorrow, that the kingdom of heaven that is here and that is to come, what that looks like. Leanne Van Dyke writes, "The peaceable kingdom portrays unlimited inbreaking of the kingdom of God and harmony between humans and animals." These are clearly images that reflect an expansive hope for justice and good order and the well-being of the weakest and the most vulnerable members of society. Children will not be hurt. Those vulnerable ones will be protected. Transformations and reversals abound. And that is why embodying that image as people of faith has been a threat to empires over the years, because transformations and reversals abound if we live into what it means to embody God's kingdom and new tomorrow today. So we're called to do the right things for the right reasons, not superficial resolutions, not impulsive quick fixes that don't resolve the deeper issues that are going on in our lives. We're called to do the right things for the right reasons. But I see Christians and congregations do the right things for the wrong reasons all the time. They hear that call to serve and love their neighbor, but there's an agenda attached to it. And it is often, at times, we can see for the sake of appearances. Or they want to serve others in hopes that it will put butts in the pews and perhaps balance the budget to keep an institution afloat. None of that of which is what John the Baptist is saying here in the wilderness. None of that is what you'll hear Jesus call us to in the Gospels. It's not the kingdom of heaven that John's talking about. It's not the kingdom of heaven that Jesus ushers in. We are marked with the cross of Christ and we are called to live for others, period. And we are joined to Christ in holy baptism. And that is a transformation that we experience that sends us out into the world to live a little bit differently. In our first lesson from Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, we hear these words of hope. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Those words might sound familiar to you because those are the words that we pray over the newly baptized. They're also the words that we pray over people when they go through the rite of confirmation, which is an affirmation of holy baptism. And it's a reminder that in the baptized life, we are joined to God that enables us to bear good fruit in the world. Too many have cheapened baptism to be nothing more than a cultural rite of passage, or have mistakenly seen it as fire insurance. But holy baptism is a gift in which we receive so much, not just for ourselves, but opens us up to be a blessing for others in the world. The fruit that we produce is more than how the world measures good fruit. One of the painful lessons that I learned during the pandemic is that we value people's worth by their economic output. That's what the world sees us as. And if you're not producing in how the world defines as good fruit, you're expendable. God calls us to bear fruit that helps to honor, preserve, and love all of God's creation, all of those people created in the image and likeness of God. And through the baptized life, that fruit that we produce will enrich the lives of those around us. We'll desire to care for all of God's creation because it is good. It is the baptized life in which we are sharing the love of Jesus in word and deed. And in Christ, we encounter a God who is generous and gracious. But that comes with transformation. Transformation isn't always easy, right? Baptism is not only not fire insurance, but He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, right? We will be transformed in ways that may not always be pleasant in life. That image of separating the chaff from the wheat is perhaps not just separating, we could take that as saying, well, that's good people and bad people, but the saint and sinner within us, right? The sinner that is being destroyed as we live into this baptismal life that is complete at death, and the sinner ultimately destroyed and the saint rising to new life in Christ. It is an image where all of God's creation, including you and me, will be made whole. It's not a promise of fear, but a promise of love, that God wants to make things right in this world and make us right with God. It's encountering a generous and gracious God that enables us to reflect that image of God in the world that produces good fruit. It's this in this God that we encounter forgiveness, that we can truly, truly start anew, no matter how bad yesterday was. Christ loves the hell out of us. Christ loves the hell out of us. And it is through that love that we don't just have to hope for a new tomorrow, but we can see the kingdom of heaven that has come near today. We get a glimpse of heaven and are called to cultivate that reality in our love for others by seeking to live in harmony with others and all of God's creation. Joined to Christ in holy baptism, we are daily dying and rising with Christ. We are daily encountering the crucified and risen Christ. That call to repentance is simply turning in the right direction, turning to Christ, away from the wrong directions and the dead ends that are out there in our world. You've heard me give this image before. When we did confession forgiveness this morning, your backs were turned towards the world and you were facing Christ. And in that image, right here in our sanctuary, is the baptismal font, a reminder that your forgiveness is grounded in your baptism. A reminder that that hope for a new tomorrow arrives in Christ today. Because in Christ, we're always experiencing a new tomorrow. We don't have to live into that riddle, what's always coming that never comes tomorrow. In Christ, tomorrow comes. Tomorrow has arrived. The kingdom of heaven is here. The sins of yesterday are gone and forgiven. The new life and the fresh start that we have is upon you today through the love of Christ. You are free to go and bear good fruit in this world. And it is those words from St. Paul this morning in his letter to the Romans that can serve as a blessing, that can ground us as we turn to Jesus, embrace and receive the kingdom of heaven with the hope of a new tomorrow that is here among us today. Hope also for all that there is to come. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Separated from the others, especially how
God of our longing, you know our deepest needs. By your Spirit, gather our prayers and join them with the prayers of all your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now well. You may be seated. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There will be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. And for those participating in Children's Church, may come forward at this time. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. I'd like to call forward anyone bringing communion to our homebound members. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick or homebound. In your love and care, nourish and strengthen those who have received this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Announcements for the good of the community?
As you noticed in the bulletin, the cause for the month this month is Love Inc. For those of you who don't know what Love Inc., it is a clearinghouse for those that are in need, specifically food, diapers, furniture, appliances. It's for those low-income families that just can't make ends meet. So any help is greatly appreciated. It is a clearinghouse that is manned by all churches in Marion County are affiliated with. So, but we welcome help from every county, especially financial. The thing I volunteer there, and the thing that has gotten to me, has gotten to my heart, is the fact that a lot of these folks, most of these folks, that's their only exposure to Christians. And any volunteers that would like to volunteer at Love Inc., it is very, very rewarding, and I recommend it to anyone. So please see me if you'd like to volunteer. But again, your financial assistance is greatly appreciated.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. God, the eternal Word, who dwells with us in Jesus and who holds us in the grace of the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.